Wow. As about all I can say is, wow. Praise the living God and welcome to Living the Good Life right here on TantalkNetwork.com. And I am Pastor Marcia McAllister. And that word from the Lord came very strongly, Dr. Angel. Powerful word we just heard on the end of their show.
Yes, it was.
God restoring, the God of restoration, bringing things together. Whoa. Wow. It's hard to even just take all that in. I do take it in. I do receive it by faith. I do welcome it. And I do believe that God is doing exactly what he said he's doing. We had a glorious service this morning at Beacon of Hope. And God is moving in our midst, Dr. Angel. I mean, moving in a mighty way, is he not?
He absolutely is. Absolutely.
It's just like you just stand back and you just see. And you just go, okay, God, we don't know everything you got in store. But it's going to be powerful. And we know it is. We feel it. We feel it so strong, you know?
Absolutely. It's almost like the labor pains are, you know, we're in that stage of where God is bringing us. And it's amazing.
It really
is. Expecting.
Expecting.
Where he's bringing us.
And every time there is any kind of a prophetic word from the Lord through some servant of God, like there just was through our dear sister, you just stand in awe. I mean, you just want to drop to your knees and begin to worship. You know what I mean, Angel?
Oh,
I mean,
yes,
you just
do.
Don't want to do business as usual. You just want to stand in awe of what God is doing and what he's reassuring us. And it's so interesting that that word came today. Don't you think?
Yes, I do.
And just a powerful move of God in our midst. This is going to be an amazing show. We're glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. And for whatever's going on in your life, dear listener, there's a lot of things going on in mine, in Angel's, and in Betty, and Betty will join us pretty soon. A lot of things going on in our individual lives. But I'll tell you, God is on the throne, Angel, and he is working, and he's doing things behind the scenes that we cannot see. He is changing people. He's changing attitudes. He's changing situations, circumstances. You want to comment on any of that?
He's moving. He's working. He's preparing. You definitely can see it, feel it. You know,
yes.
It's happening.
Yes. It really is happening. And every time we get to thinking, well, it's always going to be the way it is, whatever it is that we're thinking. We were thinking that today, or something was said about expanding. You and I were having this conversation, mm-hmm. Angel, expanding beyond our borders and how God's been dropping things in our hearts of things that we want to do in the ministry, and yet we don't have the space.
Exactly.
We have people. We don't have the space to do the things we really want to do. But God knows what we need.
Yes, he does.
And that word was very encouraging, that the fortunes will be restored. And I believe that some people that have been a part of Beacon at one time will come back.
Absolutely.
For whatever reason. I have no idea. You know, jobs and the economy moved a lot of people a few years ago. And things have just, you know, been different. But we're still having amazing services. They're not as big and whatever. But God is moving anyway in our hearts, in the leadership, Beacon, and all of us expecting God. Do you want to comment on that before we go to the song?
Oh, no, he is absolutely moving. You can feel it. You can sense it every time we go into joint worship in the church, and he's
yes.
planting the seeds of where he's bringing us in each
right.
of our hearts, and then through
yes.
his word he's confirming it, and it's just trusting and believing and letting him do it the way he does it and not interfering.
Well, I heard that in that word. Did
yes,
you hear that?
I heard that very much.
Very strongly. Don't try to make it happen. Don't try to change it. And I think that I really am on board with that concept. I don't want to try to do anything different than where we are right now. Only say I am, and this ministry is open to what God has in store for us.
Oh, yes, we are.
So, Lord, we thank you for the show today. We thank you for Betty and Angel. We thank you, Lord, for our listeners scattered around the globe. We thank you, Lord, that we can give out your word with power, with anointing, with a fresh newness in spirit, that people will recognize the voice of the Lord that is spoken today, that people will hear what God has to say, and that people will be drawn to you, mighty God, drawn to you. That's our goal. And so, Lord, we thank you in advance for all that you're going to do right now in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. And we're going to start with a song by Christian Stanfield, The Stand. It's the song I haven't played for a while. Listen to these words. Very important.
You stood before creation. Eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion. My soul now to stand. You stood before my failure. Carried the cross for my sin. My sin weighed upon your shoulders. My soul now to stay. And what could I say? And what could I do?
God. Oh, That's what we want to do. We want to stand with arms wide open and say, God, come and do a fresh work in me. Do what you want done in my life. Teach me your principles. Teach me your ways. Show me what I need to learn. And light a fire within me. Angel, we sang that old song, but a new version of Revive Us Again this morning. And I don't know about you, but Hallelujah, Thine the Glory, right?
Love that song.
Oh, yeah. Didn't we grow up singing that in church? Revive us again. And that's the desire of our hearts. That's the desire for this show, that we be revived in the things of God and the Spirit of the living God to just get a hold of us and cause us to become all that He wants us to be. There's a line in that song we just did that says, I want to offer this heart, my heart completely to you. I want to offer my heart completely to you. That's what we want, Angel. Talk to us.
It absolutely is what we want. And I sat and wrote that line down and added to it, all I am is yours.
I know. That's the rest of that, isn't it?
And that's it. That's where we need to get to. That's where we need to be, where we are, you know, a living sacrifice.
Yes.
The Bible talks that we are a living sacrifice. And so we have to surrender that. God's not going to come take it. He's a gentleman, and we surrender ourselves to Him and our hearts.
He gives
to
us
him.
A free will. He doesn't make us love mm-hmm. Him. He doesn't make us serve Him. He doesn't make us make changes in our lives. Those are things that we willingly want to do because we want to please our Heavenly Father, you know? And I think that in the series, Jesus Is, that we're in right now, we want to really emphasize the concept that Jesus is so many things to you if you allow Him to be. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your helper. He wants to be your comforter. He wants to be there for you all the time, your shield, you know, all those things that the Bible says He wants to be for you. He really does. And all He asks is we turn our hearts over to Him. And we're talking about that today. We're in John chapter 10. I believe Betty has just joined us. Are you there, Betty?
Yes, good afternoon, lady.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Indiana, Michigan, wherever you are. Where are you?
I am in Indiana.
All right. Sounds good. You know, Betty, it's just there's no time to just sit around and do our own thing. I don't know, Betty, if you were able to hear the prophetic word that came out for our ministry at the end of that show right before us. I don't know if you were able
no,
to
I
hear
did
it.
Not. No.
Basically, it was that God is restoring. Dr. McKay was teaching in the book of Joel about the restoration, that restoring our fortunes, restoring what the enemy has taken. We claim it. I stand on it personally and for the ministry. That God is a God of restoration. In fact, our slogan at Beacon of Hope is where the word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. That's what we're all about. Talk to us, Betty.
Well, during my prayer time this week, the Lord had revealed that there was going to be a restoration, that there is going to be a mighty move of God coming. And one of the things is that we as children of the King is to be ready. And sometimes, you know, we go about our daily lives and we just don't even give God, you know, 5 minutes of our time.
Right.
And He gave His life for us. So
right.
I think that it's time that we get motivated, because I am fired up today, and I will try to keep it at a minimum, because you know how I get.
No. We don't want you to keep it at a minimum, Betty.
Oh, yeah, you do. But today you might.
Okay. All right.
It's amazing what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives and how sometimes that we shut the door and
we don't
want to be bothered.
Right.
Because it seems like when we're just on the breaking point, when we're ready to get that breakthrough, is when the enemy tries to come
and
steal it away from us. So
of course he does.
I know the three of us, we've prayed without ceasing for many things in our lives. Well, ladies and listening audience, I'm telling you, it's coming.
It is
He's
coming.
Coming.
Yeah.
And we have got to be ready. We have got to shed the grave clothes.
Right.
We have got to put on new garments of and the garment of praise for, you know, the Lord is coming, and he wants, you know, he calls us friend, and that's what he wants us to be, as his friend. And we have got to start communicating with him more than just 3 or 4 minutes a day. I mean, that's all you can give him, that's fine. But we got to break it down.
Oh yeah,
we've got to
do more.
Yeah, yes. He gave his all. And now it's time that we give our all.
Oh, absolutely. And God is calling people in this time, and we are a part of that, to an upgrade in the spirit, where we're going to say, okay, God, whatever you want to do. That's why I said earlier, as we came on the air, I'm not trying to tell God in any way what he wants to do with this ministry. I'm just simply saying, you know, thy will be done. Because I believe so often we get entangled with specific prayer, and we think we know how something is supposed to go, Angel. You want to talk about that? And so often God knows, he sees the whole big picture of our lives. It's not that little tiny speck we're seeing.
Absolutely. You know, and a lot of times we do. I think we want to figure it out for God, kind of help him do what we think he needs to do, and we kind of envision it one way or this way, and when it doesn't happen, because that was not God's plan, we get disappointed, we get frustrated, and we might start questioning God and think he's not doing what he promised to do. But that's not how God works. He does what he says he's going to do. We've got to stop putting him in a box of how we believe.
Oh, I agree.
It's coming through.
Yeah.
Yes, God sees the beginning from the end. He knows it all in the perspective and timing.
Well, we don't do well with change, humans, and we also don't do well with not seeing around the next corner.
Exactly.
You know, we like to know how this piece is going to fit into that piece in our lives. And honestly, the older I get, and that I am getting older, I will admit it, but the older I get, the more I realize that God absolutely does not want us trying to second guess what's coming. He wants us to enjoy the moment and to anticipate the suddenly moment. Betty, talk to us. Betty?
Yes. One of the things that I think that we've all been through in the last few weeks, months, maybe years, is, God, where are you?
Oh, yeah.
Why am I sitting here? Why am I, you know, I know sometimes I procrastinate, sometimes I doubt, sometimes I have fear, but, you know, those are human emotions that we feel.
Right, sure.
That when we have unforeseen circumstances come upon us.
Right.
But you know what? God's timing and our timing sometimes are not the same.
Yes.
And if we just keep, I think I said this last week, we just keep banging on a door that will not open. It's not going to open, people, until God lets you go through it. That may not be the door that he wants you to go through, because you say, well, why can't I have this? Well, God may be saying, because I have something better for you.
Right.
And it's just so important to remember, is to be, to have an open heart.
Absolutely.
To be able to have an open mind to say, okay, God, you're in control.
Right.
I remove self, because I want to pour out myself so that I can receive more of you.
Absolutely.
And once we come to that realization is that God has control over everything in our life. And once we let go of that control and let him drive, things go so much smoother.
You know, they really do. But Betty, I think human nature says, you know, I don't like to just sit and not know what's going on or what's going to happen. And so we get frustrated, and I think so often fall into traps that the devil lays for us, where we get discouraged because it's not happening, whatever it is, the way we want it to happen. It's not happening quickly like we want. It's not earth-shattering like we had hoped it would be. Little changes don't seem to kind of rock our world like something major would. Angel, talk to us.
Yeah,
Yes, absolutely. Those little, you know, little changes kind of seep in there. But when we get those big things happening, whoo, man, we can fight it and resist it and, you know, go in and kicking and screaming and get really frustrated and all that happening with it. And we have to trust God's ways. God's ways are not our ways.
Well, we have to believe that God knows every part of the details. And that's where I think a lot of people get messed up here. Today we're talking about the third I am in the book of John, and it is Jesus said, I am the door or the gate. And I believe that so often we forget that in order to, let's just take it to Disney World, okay? In order to get into Disney World, you got to have a ticket and you got to go that little through that little turnstile thing, don't you, Angel? Is that still there?
Yes, that's still there.
Yeah, my daughter, when she was 14 months old, got her little toe caught in that thing.
Aww.
So yeah, that was an emergency. But anyway, there is a passage, a door. That would be the door in that case to get into Disney World, right? And so often, there is a door, there is a passageway into the next phase that God has for us. Jesus says, I am the door, right? Jesus is the way that you need to do whatever it is you need to do, whatever contact you need to make with someone that's going to open this door or that door. Jesus is already ahead of you. He's the door. Talk to us, Betty.
Well, you know, some people look at their life like a game show.
Okay.
You know, and but if you don't mind me to illustrate what I'm trying to say here.
Go ahead.
Is that we want things immediately.
Yes.
And if we can't find it behind door number one, we're going to go to door number two.
Right.
We can't find it in door number three, we're going to do it. But again, we do it.
Right.
And once we get to door number three, I can just hear the Lord saying, stop.
Right.
You're putting your life in a downward spiral. You are taking this farther than you have to take it. Now, you're at door number three. You're at your last. This is the last door that you can go through. Why don't you let me show you what I can do through the
right.
power of my Holy Spirit?
Right.
And I'm going to give you an example. A person I know gave 2-week notice on Friday, and they were immediately let go. Okay? There went income out the door. Okay, God provides. God provided a way double of what the person got because he followed the instructions of the Lord and did exactly what he told her to do.
Okay.
And if you look at the outcome of what, you know, in our plans, what the outcomes can be, which can be disastrous at times, versus the outcome of what happened with this person on Friday, is that was God's outcome, people.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, that may sound trivial to some, but if you're in a financial hardship and God provides a way within 1 hour, God's timing, and we've talked about this on many, many shows, is God's timing, is that Kairos moment where God appears and he fully goes through with what his plan is. So that gives you an idea of the timing of God is impeccable. His timing is, he's always on time. There is no lag time. There is no waiting in some instances. Now, there's some things that I've been praying for, they have not come to fruition, but that doesn't mean that I'm giving up. Because once you realize who God is, Satan cannot take that away from you. And I heard a word
yeah.
today in a sermon. We have to become impenetrable.
Mm-hmm.
Is to let God work in our lives so that Satan cannot have a foothold.
Yeah, amen.
And it's sometimes we're driven by fear. Sometimes we are driven by other emotions that God wants to replace with peace.
Yes,
and
yes.
He is our door. He is our gatekeeper. He's our shepherd. I mean, there's so many, you know, words that you can just keep on saying that he is to us.
Right.
But he provides for us through the doors that we go through because he's holding our hand. And
amen.
He's taking care of his sheep. And
amen.
Amazing. God amazes me every day in my life. And I know he does, you guys, too.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, this show is all about us learning the practical aspects of living with Jesus, very, very important, or the most important part, really, of our lives, getting our priorities correct and understanding what he wants for us to do. And one of the things he really wants for us to do is believe that he understands our situation, believe that he has an answer, believe that he's working. Talk to us, Angel, about that before we go to the song.
Well, and that's where it comes down to, where's our faith?
Where's our faith?
What are you believing in?
Right.
Because so often we're believing in ourselves.
Right.
We're believing in our education, our abilities, or our skills, and we feel like we have to force that door open.
Right.
Instead of putting our faith in the one who made us and the one who has our purpose and the one who has his plans for us. And then we're miserable. We think it's going to make us happy. We think it's going to make us successful or content. And we're still empty because we aren't the ones that are supposed to be opening the door. He's the door.
Absolutely. He's the door. And I heard that in that word that was given before the show to me through Dr. McKay. And part of that was, don't try to force it. Wasn't it? Didn't you hear that?
I absolutely heard that.
Yeah. And so, you know, listeners, that's not just for me. That's for you. Don't try to force it. God's got a plan. The answer and what it is, what you have to do is believe. And we're going to go to a song that I like. It's an old song, too, the Cantinas, Believe.
If you choose to believe.
Amen. We got to believe, folks. That's all we have to do. Go to John 10, verse 1. Gotta believe that God loves you, dear one. He's got a plan for you, and he's working on his plan. So Jesus is the door or the gate, and we're going to talk about it in a couple different ways. So let's start John 10, 1. And Jesus says this. Let me set this before you as plainly as I can. Or in the old King James, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, right? In other words, listen up. Listen up. I got something to tell you. If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen, instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good. He's a sheep rustler. The shepherd walks right up to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice. He calls his own by name and leads them out. Talk more about that part of it next week when we talk about Jesus being the good shepherd. But here we're talking today about Jesus being the door, because John 10 verse 7 says, I am the gate or the door for the sheep. All those others are up to no good, sheep stealers. Jesus is saying he's the door. Jesus is the door. A door is an opening. It's an entrance. It's a change in your life. If I walked out of this control room right now and I would have to go through a door. One, there's two doors in here. And the one that would take me to the lobby is the door I would go through, right? And I would change positions from the control room in the radio station to the lobby, where there's tables and areas for people to sit and wait before their show, okay? So I would make my circumstances different by walking from this place where I am right now to another place. Jesus says he's the door to the changes in our lives. And Angel, this is where a lot of times people just forget that Jesus wants to be there. If you're having a job change, if you're having a marriage change, if you're having whatever is going on in your life, he's the way to get to that other side. He wants to be. Jesus said, I am the gate. I'm the door.
He absolutely wants to be. We have to let him be.
Hard to do.
Yeah, it takes some yielding of self. And, you know, that's a hard thing to do. That dying of self is probably the most difficult thing, because we have to do it over and over and over daily, sometimes more than once a day, you know. But we need to get to that point where not my will, but his, and take that door and trust him enough to get us through the door. You know, when he opens the door, he's got the perfect way for us. Is it going to be a pain in the growing experience? Absolutely. It's the refiner's fire to repair us for that door.
It does, yeah.
You know, often we start feeling that heat of that refiner's fire and we want to go run back to the door we just came from, and we can't.
For those that don't know what refiner's fire means in the word, do you want to explain that real quick?
Well, it's just where, you know, he's burning off all those impurities in us and helping to move us to the next level with him, to a deeper level with him.
Absolutely. And in this little story that Jesus is telling in John chapter 10, he's talking about how the sheep were kept at night. They were kept in a little enclosed space, so they were safe. They were guarded, so no wild animals would eat them in the night. They had a nice place to lay down and rest. The wall around this sheep pen was relatively short, perhaps about 3 to 4 feet tall. But on the top of that wall was a whole row of thorns, which is interesting because we think of Jesus dying on the cross and we know that he had all those thorns embedded into his skull and they were for, you know, they were using it as punishment. And the shepherds would line thorns all over this little wall. And so that if somebody was trying to come in and steal the sheep, they would get pretty banged up and very hurt, right?
Oh, yeah.
It was a punishment. Well, the rabbis, the different religious leaders, when they put that crown of thorns on Jesus, it was a mockery. It was to make fun of him. It was to make him bleed and hurt. And so it's interesting that Jesus said, yeah, I know about all the sheep. Y'all are sheep. You know, we are sheep. Okay. But that door is so necessary for the sheep to go in and out of. You don't want the sheep crawling over that short wall and running into all those thorns, right? So we have to use the door. And it's interesting, Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, brought out this morning that those shepherds, there would be a lot of different shepherds' sheep that would be housed together at night. And so the shepherd would walk up to that door and call his own sheep out. Love that. And they knew his voice, and they would follow, and they would go. Betty talked to us. I just love this analogy and love the fact that Jesus is that gatekeeper. He wants to be the gatekeeper of our minds. He wants to be the gatekeeper of our daily lives. He wants to make sure that we are getting the nourishment we need, the rest we need, all of that, the peace that we need in our lives. Talk to us, Betty.
Well, you know, in an interpretation, he's our caregiver. He is the he's
absolutely
our peace.
Yes,
he's our comforter. And having livestock myself, which are horses, is that
right.
They, you know, they had those thorns up there for a purpose, and it's just to keep the good in and the bad out.
Right.
And that's what God does to us. He wants to get all of the bad out of us, all of the sins that we have in our lives, and he wants to put the good in, because it's what goes in comes out. And so if we're in the Word and we're taking God's Word and we're digesting it, then that's what comes out, is God's love, God's
amen.
Ability to love people,
right?
To be able to show people, this is the gate or the door that I want you to go through, because you're going from, you know, if you look at a door, you're going from darkness into light when you go through God's door that he has for you. And there are times that, yes, we do, we kind of pick the wrong door to go through because we've went through on our own will. But it's like Angel said, you know, we want God's will for our life.
Yes, we do.
Things go so much smoother and so much better.
You think?
When God opens that door. Yes, ma'am, I do think that.
Oh, my gosh. But we are so creatures of not only habit, but we're creatures of, I'm going to do it my way, and my way is the best way, and if you don't like that, you can hit the highway. Angel, talk to us about that.
We do. You know, you got Betty hit on it earlier. We kind of have that Burger King mentality. I want it my way and I want it now. You know, the microwave generation. And we can't. That's not how God works. I mean, if you go back and read in scriptures, I mean, he was working in lies for 40 years before, you know, when he planted promises to some people. And it's about us being ready for that purpose he has for us. It's, you know, we have to get to that point where we're ready to walk in that purpose, that we want it so bad that we're going to stay in it. Because if we try to get there, you know, it's going to refine us. It's going to have some change and growth. And that usually happens with some pain,
a little bit of pain.
Pain brings change.
Right.
But it's a good pain because it's a growing pain. But sometimes we go running the other way as soon as we hit that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be prepared to trust him wholly and completely. This is where he has me. This is where he wants me. And I'm walking through this door with
him. Walking through it. And it's interesting with this analogy that Jesus talks about here about the shepherds and the sheep and where they slept at night. If they just allowed them to roam during the night, bad guys would have stolen them, right? Or they could have fallen off a cliff because they couldn't see where they were going. They could have been so tired they couldn't walk the next day to where they needed to go to get their nourishment. They needed rest.
And other animals could have come in and attacked them.
And attacked them and eaten them up. So I think it's so interesting that Jesus wants to be the doorkeeper over our minds. We need rest, guys. One of the ways I rest is going to the causeway when I can every week or two and sitting for a couple hours and praying and just looking at the water. That gives me rest. Times where, you know, I'm just so tired with work or whatever. And we all need those times of just resting. Watching a ball game for me really does that too. But talk to us about that, Betty, because there's so many times that we get so caught up in all of our stress and all of our anxiety that if we were a sheep and we were left outside, we'd be sitting there twirling our thumbs and we would be anxious and panicked and worried and up all night instead of sleeping and resting. And that's what the little safe place was for the sheep, where the place they could rest safely. Talk to us. Well, sheep pen.
Okay. Yeah, well, we have that ability to rest under the shadow of the Almighty. He gives us an opportunity through many, many scriptures is to find peace in him, to relax, to climb up on his lap and let and just be held. So once we get to that point where we just keep running and running and running and running and running, eventually our energy runs out and we have to stop and replenish. And that's what we have to do in our own lives is to get replenished through prayer, through his word, actually through nightly rest, or, you know, if you have a night job, you rest during the day, is that our bodies, we push ourselves to the point of exhaustion at times, and our bodies will begin to shut down. Well, that's what happens in the spirit realm. When we just push ourselves and we push ourselves and we don't replenish through prayer and
exactly
praise,
right. You're exactly right.
Is that we get exhausted. Okay.
Yes.
Well, then you have other warriors that can stand behind you while you're behind that line of grace.
Yeah.
And that's where God wants us to rest. You go to the causeway. I go to the pasture. It's just people have their places.
Right.
Of refreshment, or like under a palm tree, or, you know, just a slight breeze. But we have to remember is that God nourishes our soul. He gives us the opportunity to be filled with his Holy Spirit so that, you know, we can rest, that we can have the peace that passes all understanding from running a race where we are totally exhausted. And
right.
Once we get to that exhaustion place, Pastor and Angel, is that we fall down. And God says, child, why are you doing this? Why
right.
Let me, you know, I've never left you. Why do you keep doing this to yourself?
Mm-hmm. So right.
Sometimes we just do it to ourselves without even, you know, without even noticing it. But then once we get into the Word, once we start praying and praising God, our bodies become energized. We have that, I call it spiritual protein.
It's true.
To
it's
get
true.
Us back and get us going again.
It really is. And that's this analogy here with the shepherd, with the sheep that come in to rest at night. And they go through the door. And the gatekeeper knows who's there. Because God knows where you are in your situation right now. He knows all about you. You may think he doesn't, but he does. Every little quirk you have, every little panic-stricken thought, every little anxiety, every little worry, God knows all about you. He's the door. He's the door to rest and peace and healing in your life. You know, rest gives you, it brings healing. Angel and I were just talking about the beach earlier about how that, you know, really, that does it for me. It just brings healing. And that is what God wants for you. Let's listen to this song by the group New Song. That's the same God. I love this song.
Back to the wall, scared you fall, what you go. Near
With you, dear one, whatever you're going through right now.
Yeah, he's with you now.
He's with you. And he wants you to turn to him. You know, I believe there's a lot of people out there across the airwaves that are discouraged, defeated. They've just got so much on their plate that they've just pulled away from God. And a lot of times it's because they're disappointed. Things haven't gone the way they thought they were going to go. And they just are sitting back thinking, okay, what is going on, God? And they don't even talk to God much, Betty. I really believe this is very prevalent in our society in this day and time.
Well, it really is. And I know that in my own life, I've been there. I have wondered and you know, scratched my head and many tears of, God, where are you? But my faith would begin to waver. But once, you know, someone would send something to me, or someone would send me a song or whatever, or just a phone call and say, hey, just even mentioning the name of Jesus, or say, hey, I'm praying for you, is that it gives us the faith to go on. It keeps us motivated.
Amen.
To, you know,
yes, it does.
To stay in the race.
Yeah, stay in the race. Yes. And you're right. There's times that we just need that little bit of encouragement. Angel, talk to us about this, because, you know, Jesus knew we would have these times. This is no surprise to him. Jesus got tired. He wouldn't drive away. But he kind of walk away from the gang, you know, the disciples and everybody clamoring around him for ministry. And there's many accounts that he would go up on a little hill to pray, or get away and rest and lay down. He would lay down and rest. Talk to us, Angel.
Well, that rest is so important. You know, it was funny because before we came to the show, I was sitting and working on my book and editing. And this is the exact chapter I was editing, by the way, Our Finite Energy, and how we need
Whoa,
that rest.
Really?
Well, yeah. So it's just so perfect, God's timing.
Of course.
Right there, fell into place. But we do. I mean, he was a perfect model. He modeled his spiritual rest, his physical rest.
Yes.
Rest from people, even.
Right,
and
yes.
And we need to do that. You know,
yes.
Sometimes we just need to get in with a couple intimate of our friends and use that as a rest period too, and
be
and
silly.
Pull away from the
be
crowd.
Silly.
Yes, and
you can do that
go.
With Betty. You know, you can be silly with her, because she is definitely a silly person, aren't you, Betty? Yeah. There's that silly laugh.
Yeah,
but really, you're right, Angel, because he did model that, and he did model rest. He loved the water by the Lake of Galilee. I mean, it was, all of that was so important. Walking on the beach, he loved that.
Absolutely. He had his good friends, you know, Mary and Martha and Lazarus.
Right.
You know? So, you know, he absolutely, but we needed to take that lead, and we need to do that in our own lives.
Yes.
You know, I like to think of the furthest I can be from God is my arm's length, because I'm the only one who can push him away.
Oh,
you know, he's
like
not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me, but I can sure push.
And why do people push him away, Angel? And then we'll go to Betty for that same question. Why do people do that?
Well, I think we push him away because, first of all, we probably stuck him in a box and wanted him to do something the way we thought it should be done, and it didn't happen, and we are frustrated or angry or disappointed.
Sure. I think that's a huge one. Betty, why do people do it? Why do they push away?
Well, I believe it has a lot to do with our beliefs. It has a lot to do with our faith level. It has a lot to do with the past. It has a lot to do with our own carnal thinking.
Right.
In the past, he never helped me. Why is he going to do it now?
Right, yeah.
So a lot of times it's immaturity.
Sure.
Sometimes we have little toddler tantrums.
really?
I have my granddaughter's a toddler, and sometimes she throws a tantrum when she doesn't get what she wants.
Right.
And it boils down to is that training.
Right.
He is, and the probably the most profound thing I've heard in the last year for me in my little infinite mind is that during the test, sometimes the teacher is silent.
Right.
And I had to digest that a lot. It's like, well, yeah, that's right. But what if we need help? Well, he's always there to help because he's never going to leave us nor forsake us.
Exactly.
But how are we ever, if we're just basically drinking milk and we're not gaining any, we're not doing anything forward to get more nutrition.
Right.
In our spirit is the word of God is that people are just too busy.
Yeah.
I don't have time for God. I don't have time for God. And it's our choice.
I totally agree.
Our own free will. And like I say, it's, we don't have time.
Right.
He never helped me in the past. So why is he going to help me now? So it's, fear. And lack of faith, and it's hard. I know we've all been there. It is so hard. We are not perfect in any way. There was no perfect being except Jesus Christ himself. So we all are human, and we all have ups and downs. We have roller coasters. We have those things, but we have to learn that in those times of trial, in those times like Angel said about the fire, we're in a test, we're in a storm. He is with us.
Amen. He certainly is. And we're going to talk more about this whole subject in just a few minutes. Before we get up here to the top of the hour for station ID, Angel, I'd like for you to talk about our Thursday night show that you and I do. Would you talk about that?
Absolutely. On this station on Thursday nights at 6 o'clock p.m. is our show called Go Yard. It is a life coaching show, and it's helping you learn to hit those home runs in life. And we take on a lot of everyday practical topics and give you great tools to help you get through.
Why do we do that?
We want everyone to live their best life and to live it to the fullest. And we all hit obstacles and things happen in life. And so it's nice to have some tools and supports to get us through those things.
Yeah, because so often we find that life is difficult.
Mm-hmm. It is.
We need some helps. And so check us out. That's me, Mama Mac, my other name, and Dr. Angel Falzone, PhD, licensed mental health counselor, every Thursday night at 6:06 right here on tantalknetwork.com. Betty, I know you listen to it a lot. Does it bless you? Does it help you?
Yes, it sure does.
That's the right answer. That's the answer you were supposed to give.
Yeah. That's the one you told me to say.
This
season. No, it is a blessing. We've learned so much, and I think one of the greatest shows for me, now I'm not speaking for everyone, for myself, was setting boundaries, is knowing where you have to draw the line in some things in your life and letting God help you with that. And it was an amazing show, and every show is amazing. Every show touches, you know, some aspect of either my life or your life. I suggest you tune in on Thursday night and listen to the show. Sometimes they have call-ins, and I think that's amazing too, that you have responses back from your audience.
Well, this week we're doing another question and answer show, Q&A show, because we did a show last week on that, and there were so many more questions that have come in from audience members that we decided to do another Q&A show this week. It'll be interesting. Those questions are always interesting. You can send questions into GoYard 2014. That's the year we began 4 years ago. GoYard2014@gmail.com is the email address. The website is goyard2014.org. I was trying to tell you both things at once. Cannot do that. So check out our Thursday night show. Betty, I'm planning on doing another Facebook post this week. Didn't get to last week. Just a lot of extenuating circumstances. But I have one out there on Facebook from about 10 days ago. Do you want to mention that, please, before we get up here top of the hour?
Yes, the show at hashtag life changing.
Yeah, that's what it was. Hashtag life changing. Yeah.
And those your posts, which are done by Pastor Marcia McAllister, between 15 to 17 minutes, that gives you something to think about, something that God wants you to hear. And the message a week and a half or so ago was about life changing. And if you listen to it, I'm not going to give you any examples. I want you to listen to it. Go to her Facebook page at Marcia McAllister slash Facebook.
Just Marcia McAllister posts. Just do it that way on Facebook. Yeah, on Facebook.
And if you scroll down, you can find all of the ones that she has recorded.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can hear Zoe Grace and Macklin in the background, you know,
my
giving doggy applause.
Yes.
And they are something that gives you something to grow on, something to get you through the day. If you can't listen, you know, if you can't read, you can always listen through the media, through your your smartphone. And it is Pastor Marcia. I really appreciate those Facebook posts. They sure mean a lot to me, and I know they mean a lot to the audience too.
I love doing them. So we got that going. We got this show every Sunday afternoon. We got our Thursday night life coaching show. We got the Facebook posts. We have a prayer line that is available around the world because it's email, and it's prayers@bohmglobal.com. Betty, you and Pastor Jim, who we fondly call PJ, and Shell, pick up those requests that come in, and there's usually something every day or so. Sometimes there's 10 in a day. Sometimes there's 3. Sometimes there's none. But what do you do with those, Betty, very quickly, because we're almost up to the top of the hour.
Okay.